Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus podcast. We're here yet again, just for pure entertainment purposes only. We've made it through the 4th of July, Tim.
Everybody got their fingers?
I've got mine and toes.
Me too.
And, you know, the many barbecues and fireworks shows, and I think we're still intact. So I think that's a win, don't you?
It's a big win.
It's been a blast, I think, and somehow we have survived it all. So I'm your host, Ben Baker. Tim Holden is here, fresh from our undefeated cornhole run last night, I might add.
Yeah, it got boring after a little bit.
Yeah, after 3 or 4 games of 21-0.
You didn't even say bye. You just walked away, and I was like, I guess we're done.
The old Irish goodbye.
He did an Irish goodbye.
Just walked off. And Joel Mace is back from a birthday weekend. Happy birthday, Joel.
Thank you.
I don't even want to know all the trouble that you've gotten into with that, but we're glad you're back.
He's here.
I've got warrants in 8 states after this last weekend.
I heard you went to a great fireworks show, though. Yeah, so
Wamego, Kansas.
That's awesome to hear. We'll have to try that sometime. And also, over the holiday, I think I have attended at least 5 that I can remember, that I can recollect, fireworks shows and 4th of July parties. But also, we have begun the Extreme Makeover Man Cave Edition.
Yeah, pardon the progress. If you're hearing a little, if it sounds like that we are in a, in a box... We are in what is known as a white box in the construction industry.
Yeah.
Just drywall and wood floors and ceilings.
It's a bit echoey.
But it's going to be majestic when we
go live. Oh, it's amazing. We have actually gotten a lot accomplished. We've did a lot of renovation just in the past week. Got the air unit in and sheetrock up and all that, but... it won't be long, and we'll be settled into the all-new Man Cave Caucus studio, which we're excited about. We're actually recording in the new setup here today. So bare walls do cause a little bit of echo effect, so bear with us. But we are freezing in here. It's literally like an iceberg. So...
get out the tarps. When it comes deer season, you'll know exactly where to
hang the
process.
Meat.
Yeah.
We could double it as that, right? Speaking of the holiday, we're going to start off with probably the most unpatriotic story you've ever heard. And I'm embarrassed, Tim, to even admit that it's from my home state of Missouri.
I hope this is a heel to a sandwich of a wonderful show.
Although it is St. Louis. Joel brought me this, so I had to look it up to make sure it was all on the level, and sure enough, he was right.
If the Googler is bringing in the hot right. takes that are not, in fact, truthful, we have problems anyways. So.
And I liked his perspective as well, as a law enforcement officer. So here it is. On the 4th of July... Okay. The 4th of July, St. Louis police officers busted an illegal fireworks retail operation, so-called illegal fireworks retail operation in Riverview Drive, wherever that is in St. Louis, I don't even know. But acting on a tip, the officers seized the fireworks.
Who told?
Who told, right?
That's someone that I've probably seen them in public.
Probably one
harassing
of those,
a manager.
Probably one of those pet people that.
Oh yeah, that
always complain about fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
I don't know what his real name is, but we're going to call him Benedict Arnold.
Yes, my dog's allergic to fireworks.
So this was part of supposedly a larger effort by the police to crack down on illegal fireworks sales and the use of fireworks in the city. So apparently this is a real new program of the St. Louis Police Department to crack down on illegal fireworks.
It's ironic that the first real black market firework stand I've ever seen is not, in fact, selling black market fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, of all the things on the 4th of July, you know, so let's get this straight, right? They don't crack down on real crime.
No.
Like theft or, you know, the thuggery that's going on in the streets in St. Louis every day, you know. They don't crack down on going up and down the thoroughfares with your four-wheelers and your dirt bikes, just, you know, running amok in the city. They don't crack down on the murderous gangs, even, of roving lunatics in the streets of St. Louis that are killing people on a daily basis. But, you know, fireworks on the 4th of July, not acceptable.
That firework stand was a firework stand that would make Joe Dirt proud. And I'm just wondering, St. Louis doesn't do great with their budget. What if they were just needing to supply their municipal show?
Maybe that's what it was. A little confiscation action for the use of...
Or are they so un-American that they don't even have a municipal show?
I don't know about that. I actually worked a case one time where guys stole commercial fireworks, and those are controlled by the ATF, and they don't look anything like those.
Yeah. I hear you, but I'm just saying, I've gone to some shows. I shall not mention any cities that I'm pretty sure this is what they were using. But
maybe St. Louis.
That was a beautiful, beautiful setup. Better than any fireworks stand I've been to. What they had there in that literal black market fireworks stand.
So here's what's crazy. Okay, so here's another headline from the same day in St. Louis City, okay? 7 people shot following the fireworks show in St. Louis City. Same day, same city, different headline, but yet the crackdown was on fireworks.
Well, at least
fireworks
not,
sales.
I'm kind of thankful they're not cracking down on guns, but... you know.
Well, I mean, if you watch the video, did you watch any of the video from the guy literally walking down the street just shooting? I don't know.
You know, had he had some...
Maybe crack down on that? I don't know.
Had he had some of those little snaps in his pocket, maybe he would have been less likely to go get his gat.
Right.
If he had had a whistling...
Pop, snap, fireworks you throw down on the ground.
Yeah. Maybe if he'd had some... whistling bungholes or something, he'd have been busy doing something.
Some Roman
productive.
Candles.
Yeah.
Whisker do's, whisker don'ts.
Yep. So
no, really, people, they're doing a bang up job in St. Louis City. Seriously. Hmm. Oh, by the way, the mayor just endorsed Cori Bush. So there's that. So yeah, they're killing it in St. Louis, right? But what has it come to in this country where you can't even buy or sell fireworks to celebrate the bombs bursting in air kind of freedom that we're proud of? What do you think the founding fathers would think about this, Joel?
They would not approve.
They would not approve.
I've been binging on American Revolution
YouTube
videos.
Yeah.
I could tell you they would not approve.
I mean, outlawing this kind of freedom and liberty?
I feel like that... If you can outlaw the spirit, if they could outlaw the spirit of just patriotism is inconvenient, you know, makes you want to do things that are just red-blooded American type things. And it's not really convenient.
So since we're talking about this, you ever wondered what happened to the signers of the Declaration of Independence? You ever thought about that? I'm going to read a little bit of this. I think it's good. It's actually from Michael W. Smith regarding the founding fathers, their commitment to freedom and liberty. And I think it would be good to, you know, being that we're just a few days away from the 4th of July, to have a little reminder of the kind of commitment that it takes to preserve the freedom and liberty that we all enjoy every day. Five of the signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British general Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged, for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I think that tells the story, Tim, about what kind of people preserved the freedom and liberty that we have today.
Yeah, I think it'll take to keep it alive. You know, it's going to take a commitment on that scale at the rate we're going.
Well, I think so many times people forget, right? They really do. They forget the unbelievable sacrifices that have went into. And when we celebrate, you know, that's the thing that a lot of times I sit there during fireworks shows and I try to force myself to think about those things. Like, it's not just a show or a celebration, or I mean, literally it has a deeper meaning than what many times we realize when it comes to our country. And that's why I'm always opposed when people are like, you know, let's outlaw fireworks, or let's make it to where you can only do it on one night, or let's make it to where you can only do it on two nights. You know, it's like, look, this is nothing compared to the sacrifices that were made to preserve the freedom to be able to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was appropriate for this time of the year. So next up, the RNC rejects Missouri's slate of delegates for the national convention. Have you guys heard about this?
I heard that could happen.
So I hate to say this, but I told you so.
was going to say, I heard on the Man Cave Caucus podcast.
This is exactly what I warned could happen at the state convention when the coup tried to wreck that and bully their way to taking over everything by breaking the rules and, you know, applying situational ethics. So here's an article from The Hill, and the headline reads this: RNC committee affirms challenge to replace the Missouri delegates. And I'll just read a little bit of that. It says the Missouri Republican Party must replace 54 National Convention delegates and alternate delegates. A Republican National Convention committee recently ruled, citing alarming irregularities in the state's convention process in May. Sounds familiar. It's almost like I was there.
Like the instead of the squad, we could have the Ku Klan in Jefferson City, kind of section off.
So yeah, they said that they had a deadline to replace the slate of delegates that was put forward at the state convention. So just to be clear, the Missouri Republican Party did not contest any part of the state convention. This is completely a decision that was made by the RNC because of several irregularities that took place at the state convention, and that there's literally no record of who was there. There's no objective record of the delegates that were at the convention. So without that, you cannot prove that the process was correct to be able to vote on those slates. Not to mention that, you know, we don't know when the quorum
fell apart
during the state convention and whether there was actually authority to even elect that slate of delegates. So a new slate has been chosen by the state committee to go to the RNC. I think it's July 15th is when the RNC convention takes place. And some are trying to say that this coup that took place, what's going on with the state party is that it's the anti-Trumpers and it's the never-Trumpers that have done this. And that is patently false. Because this is what happens when you don't think things through and when you don't understand the process and you don't understand the rules and you just run roughshod because you want to get your way. So that's what's taking place with the Missouri slate of delegates.
I mean, we really want a circus. We just got to get old Colonel Clanders heading up. McClanahan heading up the whole operation and the Ku Klan ran by Colonel Clanders.
Right.
Ben, do you know what the fix is? What do they got to do to fix this?
So there really is, I mean, I think after this, so the state committee put together another slate of delegates, and they were fair. They chose delegates from both of those slates, like the one that was put forward by the state committee and suggested at the state convention. And then they also put delegates on there that came from the coup slate that was put into place. So they're still trying to be fair to both sides, and they're trying to unify these people.
There were good people on both sides.
So they do have a slate together to go to the RNC. So that's really the only recourse that we have.
Whose lap does that fall in? Is that the newly elected chair lady?
That's a part of it. I think everybody, to some degree, with the state convention were, you know, somewhat responsible for what happened. There was some disorganization. There were some things that took place with the seating of the delegates. It took too long. You know, we talked about all that. But I think it's tough to, you know, everybody wants to place blame on the people that they disagree with rather than take responsibility that there were a lot of people, I think, that were responsible.
Will this probably highlight in the next session getting us back to the old way of doing things? Like, do you think that'll be a shoe-in, or do you think we'll continue on with the delegate?
The caucus.
I still think we need to go back to having a presidential preference primary. You know, that's why I filed the bill last year. Of course, it didn't make it.
Do you feel like, though, it'll have some steam if you refile?
I think it will, for sure.
I would think this would be a pretty hard, pretty indisputable.
There was not a lot of focus on that this year because it didn't need to be done this year. Yeah. It was already too late for this year.
Yeah.
So, but by the time the next presidential preference primary rolls around in 4 years, I think you're going to see it go back to
I would hope so.
Having that. So let's hope that that's the case, because obviously this brought about a lot of issues and it came to light really fast. So next up, let's talk about some of the monumental SCOTUS rulings the Supreme Court ruled on over the past few weeks. First was the Chevron deference case that has been overruled. I don't know if people realize this, but this is a big deal. So the Chevron case refers to a landmark 1984 Supreme Court ruling that established the principle of judicial deference to federal agencies and their interpretations of anything that they would determine to be ambiguous statutes. So basically giving the federal agencies the power to say, oh, well, we interpreted the law this way, and so therefore our rules that we promulgated reflect our interpretation of the law that Congress passed, not the actual letter of the law. You see what I'm saying? So you can imagine how much power those federal agencies have taken, and we've seen that, right? Think about the EPA, the ATF, the FBI, all these agencies that have taken so much power over the years. I mean, think about COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the CDC. Imagine what this would have been like if this court case hadn't have been in place. So this principle has been known as the Chevron deference and has been a cornerstone, really, of administrative law for almost 40 years. But this week, or this past week, the Supreme Court overturned that Chevron doctrine, is what it has become known as, in a 6-3 decision by the Supreme Court. And that ruling was a huge deal. I don't think people realize.
I feel like the next step in that would be to take a hard look at the Patriot Act.
Oh, that's definitely a part of it.
If they tackled that one with this particular Supreme Court,
I think you're gonna see a lot of things that are gonna be brought to light with this decision and then challenged.
Yeah.
When it comes to promulgated rules,
I would not have thought it would ever be on the table, but right. Seeing this go, this domino fall, that would be, talk about going a long way to getting us back, especially with AI heading the direction it's heading.
Right.
The Patriot Act is going to become more and more outdated. I mean, I think it was bad policy from the get-go.
Absolutely.
It's going to get way worse with AI being as intrusive as...
It was another example of don't let a good
tragedy
go to waste. Yeah. So this ruling was part of a broader effort by the conservative majority to rein in, really, the power of federal agencies, which we have all... I think the overwhelming majority of Americans now realize that these agencies have had too much power given to them. And it wasn't by law. It was just by this decision in 1984 that gave them the power to interpret it however they want.
Yeah.
So the court held that the court should exercise their independent judgment in deciding whether an agency has acted within its statutory authority on a case-by-case basis, rather than deferring to the agency's interpretation of an ambiguous statute. I'll give you an example of this. Okay, so when COVID happened on a state level, emergency powers during COVID were greatly expanded. I don't know if you realize that, but not only on a national level, but on a state level, emergency powers by these government agencies and departments were greatly expanded. And it wasn't by the legislature passing a law or even sometimes even by an executive order. It was just by these agencies reinterpreting the law that they claim then was ambiguous, giving themselves more power. And this happened in Missouri, where the state health department literally just rewrote the interpretation and said, oh, you know what? We're going to look at this emergency power thing again, and we're going to just give ourselves more power to do whatever we want under the auspices of emergency powers. So the implication of that is wide ranging, right? I mean, think about all the things that happened. So when this happened in the during COVID in the legislature, I wrote a letter to the state health department and I said, you cannot write yourself more power and give yourself more authority without legislative action. And if you don't rescind this rule that they promulgated to basically write themselves more authority and power, then we're going to bring it before the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, which I sit on, and we're going to have a hearing on it, and we're going to go through this with a fine-tooth comb and see if it's legally acceptable for you to do this. And guess what they did? They rescinded the rule.
Rescinded, and that's with a C, folks.
Because they knew exactly what would happen if they were brought before a committee that started asking hard questions and that the people would disagree with their idea that they can just give themselves more power. So this Supreme Court ruling is huge because it's going to make it more difficult for federal agencies to just unilaterally kind of interpret the law however they want.
Straw man.
And that's a good thing that they shouldn't be able to do that. And this decision is a victory too. It's a victory for business interests. It's a blow to the regulatory state, not to mention a win for the Constitution and the separation of powers. So in essence, they have shifted the balance of power between the executive and judicial branches, giving really the judicial branch the authority on a case-by-case basis to say, okay, if you want to reinterpret this, then let's bring it before a court and we'll decide on that.
Which do you feel that was kind of the Supreme Court giving themselves more power, or just putting
not necessarily
it back,
because a lot of these would be decided by a lower court, not okay. The Supreme Court. But here's the thing. The bottom line is I would rather a judge make these decisions on interpretation than some numbnuts, unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat somewhere in an office that's been there for 40 years who is completely unaccountable, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's voting them in or out. They can do whatever they want, and right. And they can do that, and then it can have an effect. And by the time you try to counteract that and set it straight, the damage can already be done. Like, that's what happened with COVID, right? So that was a huge decision by the Supreme Court, and I think in the right direction. Another big case over the last couple of weeks was regarding the January 6th cases. So the Supreme Court ruled on a case involving a January 6th defendant by the name of Joseph Fisher, who challenged the use of a federal obstruction law against him. And the court's decision on this narrowed the scope of the law, potentially affecting then hundreds of other defendants involved in the Capitol attack, supposed attack. But in a nutshell, one of the statutes that they used to charge hundreds of these people that were at the Capitol on January 6th is going to get thrown out the window. And so this will really narrow the obstruction of an official proceeding. That's the official title of that statute, the obstruction of an official proceeding charge for many of the political January 6th prisoners. I believe they're political prisoners. It also affects Donald Trump's D.C. federal criminal case from Jack Smith that is currently placed on hold as well. So to prove a violation of, I think it's 18 U.S.C. 1512 statute, it's a provision of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. The government must establish that the defendant impaired the availability or integrity for use in an official proceeding of records, documents, objects, or other things used in official proceeding or attempted to do so. They have to prove that. So they have to prove that the defendant actually somehow impaired that official act and kept it from happening, which is a very high bar then proof. And the burden of proof is on the government, not on the people who just showed up to a protest and then all of a sudden end up behind bars.
Which feels like that's kind of how it should go. I mean, I thought that's how it went.
Now, the surprising thing in this ruling. You had Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Jackson that joined in this decision in the affirmative. Jackson gave the concurring opinion, but Amy Coney Barrett filed a dissenting opinion and sided with Sotomayor and Kagan in this decision.
She has been so disappointed.
That is one thing that I think is not a good sign, in my opinion.
No, she's disappointed on many levels.
Because she literally joined the progressives on the court in this case. So that was something that I thought was interesting.
I can't go there. She's been disappointing. She pretty much was the vote that overturned Roe versus Wade. So
I'm just saying.
If it was just that, it would be worth it, for sure. I agree. But like, on some of these others that she's joined with the progressives, I'm like, I don't know.
There's been a couple, but I'm not going to discount.
No, definitely
what
not that.
She's done for life.
I mean, that was huge. I think that was probably the what got her in there was her stance on pro-life. So
what's really shocking,
I may be holding to too high of a bar.
Is Jackson. Why did
right?
What? She doesn't can't
that
define
one was
a woman.
Definitely.
She knows the inner workings of a machine gun, but can't describe a woman.
Uh-huh.
And she's gonna side with conservatives on this?
Yeah, that was interesting as well.
Hey.
So that's another one. Another big court case win last week was regarding a case brought by the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey. And this was a legal challenge against President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Remember, we've talked about this on the podcast, also known as the, air quotes, SAVE plan. But Bailey, along with several other states, argued that the plan, which would cost Americans like almost $500 billion, by the way, was beyond the scope of the law. Imagine that. And not authorized by Congress. Again, imagine that. So the plan aimed to, you know, Biden's plan was to forgive student loans for millions of borrowers and was set to begin on July the 1st. So Bailey's lawsuit sought to block the implementation of the SAVE plan, claiming that it was an illegal attempt by the Biden administration to transfer, you know, the debt burden to working Americans like you and me without the necessary, I believe, authority from Congress to do so. So that was a big deal. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri granted Bailey's motion to block the plan. So we'll see what happens with that as it moves forward.
He definitely should have just explained that he's not taking money from hardworking Americans. He's just printing a little more. It's
right.
It's, you know, if you lead with
just
that,
hit
I
the,
mean, it's,
the control
yeah.
P.
Yes.
Control P button again.
I think us conservatives may not understand how it works is why it's kind of gets under the fingernail a little.
Yeah, because we have to work for a living, and then we go to buy bread, and it's twice as much as
that's
what
the
it
thing.
Was
if
two
they
years
would
ago.
Let me hit that print button just one time. or
for
maybe,
your own purposes?
Maybe move from the move a little money over into savings from the national debt.
So that case, it really highlights the ongoing debate over the legality and the fairness of student loan forgiveness programs, which, you know, a lot of people, including us, argue that it is an unfair burden to taxpayers to have to pay for somebody else's education when you were not involved in that decision.
And I will say that they should... The one area that I really kick against is when it's like, I mean, if it's a liberal, if I'm paying for somebody's liberal arts degree,
right?
That's where I run into the struggle. I would like to say that I think it's terrific when our military gets college education paid for. I think they should have programs for military law and for people who are using their education for service to our country, to our county, to our cities.
Yeah,
that's great.
Maybe something that gives back.
I really
what a novel idea.
That would definitely fix our shortage in police officers,
right? I mean, and that's what I'm saying. If you serve 4 years in the military, That is a terrific place to put it. If you're,
which I think they do,
you got like a GI Bill
currently.
Yeah, no, I know they do, and that's education. where it's like when you start just putting this across the board.
Probably not though with police and first responders and some of those. I wouldn't think.
I feel like it's the same thing. If you're using your education to serve your community, serve your state, that's where I'll get on board with. Putting my tax dollars towards getting more.
I would be okay with my tax dollars paying for even the St. Louis Police Department to get their student loans paid for if they would go back on their 4th of July decision of taking people's fireworks.
Well,
that's the ultimatum for me.
And I feel like
you either fix that or no go.
Since we circled back, and I know it, I hope I'm not like getting ahead of things, but in LA, I had this red-blooded American just good feels when I saw police response to fireworks. It was Fox News, and I saw it on several other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this helicopter. They're like police responding to illegal fireworks in Los Angeles. And I'm like, okay, let's watch the video. Click on the video. There are not enough police in the United States to respond to what was going on. I mean, the rocket's red glare was pretty much all I saw. And it just, it gave me some good 4th of July feels. Mm-hmm.
Gave you that original 4th of July feel.
The OG.
Dug in a foxhole.
OG. It felt so right, so American to see, you know, I don't know that they were under extreme risk of fire or anything this year. I think it's just a broad policy that the communists down there in Cali. That's what I want to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, our Googler could find out if we were, trying to burn down California. But if I had to pick a state to lose, no, I'm kidding, Californians. But it is great to see. I mean, I think that's the only recourse when they try to strip your freedoms to see.
That's right.
That broad of a response, I mean, that is the people saying no.
A little bit of civil disobedience.
Civil discord. A little bit can be stamped out. That was not a little bit. That was...
I mean, think about it. Our forefathers dumped the tea in the bay.
It's exactly... And right? I mean...
Over what?
Taxes.
Yeah.
And it was taxes. It was taxes that we would love.
It was like a gas tax to
Missourians. If I saw a 2% tax pop up, I've been desensitized.
Which I might throw a tea party again over that too. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean
that's the kind of
if you want to lay down and surrender your rights, I'm not joining. I can't.
Mm-mm.
No. I like and
I've come too far, as Hillary said.
And yeah. And fireworks are...
I've come too far to turn back now.
The joy that my youngest Tucker, 4th of July is his holiday.
Mm-hmm.
If he had to pick between Christmas, if he had to trade all of them in for the one, he would do it in a heartbeat. Like this is his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And to think of robbing people, and it really is like it's kind of like reminding your kids for the reason of the season, you know.
Yeah,
it's a great opportunity for patriotism and stuff. It's not just fireworks, like you said.
I agree. Well, so I think this is a good spot to take a quick break. What do you think?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. And we're back from the break. Hey, next up, I want you to watch this clip, Tim, of Tucker Carlson taking this ridiculous news reporter to task on their disingenuous questions, which happens all too often. I've had my share of that as well. But this, I think, is a masterclass, really, on how you deal with these kind of people. So I thought this was interesting. The clip's a little long, but I think you'll enjoy it. So, and if we need to pause it to make some comment.
It's, you notice how long it is?
Yeah, we can do that.
5.56.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is.
That's the perfect amount. And if you know what that reference is, we can be your friend.
We should be.
Otherwise, it's a little sketchy. Right, Joel?
It is a little sketchy.
I mean,
here he goes.
Thank you so much for your address today. So you talked a little bit about immigration, and in the past you've talked about how white Australians, Americans, Europeans are being replaced by non-white immigrants in what is often referred to as the Great Replacement Theory. This is the same...
Have I said that whites are being replaced?
Well...
So notice what happens here. She makes a comment that does not objectively reflect his actual words, right? Which happens a lot with these reporters. But I love how he calls her out. So
I don't think I said that.
Well, it's been mentioned on your show 4,000 times. And
really, when did I say that?
On your show.
I said whites are being replaced?
You have said that before.
Really?
Yeah.
I would challenge you to cite that because I'm pretty sure I haven't said that. I said native-born Americans are being replaced, including blacks.
Native-born Americans.
Native-born Americans. And Americans who've, like, black Americans have been, African Americans have been in the United States for, in many cases, their families over 400 years. And their concerns are every bit as real and valid and alive to me as the concerns of white people whose families have been there 400 years. So I've never said that whites are being replaced. Not one time. And
I
you can't cite
that's
it.
Untrue.
So, we just met, but when our relationship starts with a lie, it makes it tough to be friends. So
I love how he does it too with such
so kind
tact and just like, oh, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever said that. So listen to what he says.
Let's pull that back. I'm happy to explain what I do think. Well, you actually can't say it because I didn't say it, and I don't believe it. And I'm telling you that to your face, so why don't you just accept me at face value? My concern is that the people who are born in the country are the main responsibility of its leaders. And as noted earlier, when those leaders shift their concern from the people whose responsibility it is to take care of to people around the world to put their priorities above that of their own citizens, that's immoral. And they are being replaced in my country, people who are born in the United States. And the birth rate tells the whole story. They are not at replacement rate. And so the U.S. population is growing because we're importing people from other countries. And my view is that happy people have children, and a functioning economy allows them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that. And so you need to fix the...
So that's why economic policy matters for those things as well. And that's something that I bring up often in Jefferson City. Economic policy affects everything, even to the point of having kids, right?
And I definitely would have
having
had
a family.
I definitely would have had a few more.
Yeah.
You know.
And there's a lot of people who think in those terms.
Yeah.
And fix the culture and make it so that people who want to have kids can. You don't just go for the quick sugar fix of importing new people. Like, that's my position. And if you think that's racist, that's your problem.
I never called you a racist.
But of course you are suggesting. And
no,
I must say one of the reasons people don't like people like you in the media is that you never say exactly what you mean. Your slurs are all by implication, and you're about to tell me that.
See, that's it right there.
Yes.
That's the ticket. That's what they do.
It's how it sounded to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Placement theory is racist or anti-Semitic, whatever. I've said what I've said to you right now like 100 times in public. I hope to, if I live long enough, say it 100 more times. I think it's completely honest and real, not racist or scary. It's factually true. It's not a theory. It's a fact. And the whole point of your question was to be like, you're a scary racist.
Well, I haven't
And my response is, no, I'm not. Okay, well, how about no more lying in your questions, and then I'll answer it.
Okay. Well, this is the same theory, or as you say, idea, that has inspired the New York Buffalo shooting, where 11 black Americans were killed, Americans were killed.
Like,
and it's also inspired.
It's
inspired one of the worst Australian guys of all time.
How do they get people this stupid in the media? I guess it doesn't pay well.
I love it. He just starts coming out like, no, I'm
going to
tell
the truth. We're no longer friends.
Look, I'm sorry. I've lived among people like you for too long, and I don't mean to call you stupid. Maybe you're just pretending to be, but I've never. I'm totally against violence. I'm totally against the war in Ukraine, for example, which doubtless you support, and like all dutiful liberals support more carnage. I don't. I hate mass shootings. Actually, nothing I said. What does it mean to inspire something? My views are not bigoted against any group. They're honest. They're factual. That's not hate. That's reality. And my views derive from my deep concern for Americans, actually. Americans aren't having kids because they can't afford to. Mm-hmm. And nobody in charge cares. And so that's my position. That doesn't inspire mass shootings. How dare you try to tie me to some lunatic who murdered people? Yep. How dare you, actually? And in fact, I mean, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, you know, Hitler wore those shoes. A lot of people are saying that you're like Hitler. Can you explain those shoes? Hitler wore exactly the same shoes, and you're like, I've got nothing to do with Hitler. Well, that's how I feel about your absurd, disingenuous question.
Right, so therefore you support gun control?
What? I thought it couldn't get dumber, but it did. No, I don't support disarming law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves, so the government has a monopoly on violence? I don't think so. First of all, in my country, that's illegal, as you know. But moreover, it should be illegal in every country. A sovereign person has the right to defend himself and his family. Period. And that said, I'm totally opposed to harming anyone. Anyone. Have you been calling? Are you concerned about the war in Ukraine? And the countless innocents being murdered there every single day? I doubt you are. Probably Putin bad. I am. I'm a Christian. I hate violence. I hate mass shootings. I have guns at home and often on my person when I'm in the United States, I'm proud to say, because I want to defend myself and those I love against violence. That's the point. I'm not perpetrating crimes. I'm not shooting strangers. Hmm. I'm defending what I love. And if you're against that, I guess I would ask why. Why would you be against that?
Well, so you don't think you harbor any kind of responsibility for these hate crimes?
At this point, he's like,
I'm trying to be charitable. I'm trying to be charitable. I was like, maybe you're just pretending to be dumb. Now I don't think it's an act. Oh.
Tucker, thank you for taking those questions. I'm sure you enjoyed some
actually,
questions
Actually, I
from
loved it. I just feel sorry. I mean, because I got here and the country's so unbelievably beautiful and the people are so cheerful and funny and cool and smart. I'm like, your media's got to be better than ours. It can't just be a bunch of castrated robots reading questions from the boss. And then it turns out it's exactly the same, maybe even a tiny bit dumber.
Man.
Is that good or what?
I want to hang out with Tucker Carlson.
He's cool, I'm telling you. And that is a masterclass on how to deal with these people, especially in the media, that are just so ridiculous. Their questions are always disingenuous. They're never objective. They put words in your mouth. I mean, it's just like the people who support owning firearms like I do who support the Second Amendment. And they're like, oh, well, you're a part of, you have to take responsibility for these crimes that have taken place. And it's like, no, I don't.
Well,
actually,
the temptation for me to shoehorn all liberals into America hating, it's. A lot of times, I think that a situation like this unfolds with, just having different ideas to get to the same solution. And most of the time, I'd like to believe that, I think that people get their ideals solidified long before that they have ironed out where those ideals are going to take us.
Well,
and
here's the problem. The problem is our education system has failed us. They have not taught people to think critically, to think independently. They literally believe this stuff that they are force-fed from the time they're in preschool, and they have no way to actually have an independent thought. And that is the biggest problem that we face. And it's people like that, like this journalist. Obviously her politics completely overshadows the ability for her to be objective when it comes to that.
All it takes is just a thimbleful of humility.
Yeah.
Just a tiny
and just being genuine
part of you that says, this is where I'm at. this is what I believe, just like Tucker did there. But
and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you believe
it? Why wouldn't you believe it? And right. If you can give me a really good explanation as why you don't believe
that. I'd love
that,
to entertain it.
I would absolutely love to be, you know, to learn more about this. And I come into a lot of things, from a political standpoint, where I, you know, what I believe. But I think I haven't had any of that unseated that I wasn't willing to concede if there was some good facts there. And they're just, it really is the most disingenuous.
It is.
And it makes it really hard to give the left a benefit of a doubt. It makes it hard for the left to give us a benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. If we don't have, you know, a little bit of room to say, you know, that it goes back to the, and I know he's kind of been unseated, but Steven Crowder with the Change My Mind, you know.
Yeah, just tell the truth.
Truly,
truth has power.
You come to me with the facts.
Yeah.
And I'll come to you with my facts and we'll have a nice conversation. But that was just, a disgusting display of what goes on all too often.
It is. I thought Tucker did a great job. So what's next? The Pope is saying the West should let all the illegals in.
I was hoping we'd get on the Pope. Yes. Did you see the video or the videos where he does the, what do you call when you do the cross thing?
I'll Google it.
Thank you, Joel. Anyways, but he does it. And if you watch, he does it from his forehead and does the cross upside down.
No way.
Watch the video.
You've been watching AI videos again.
I'm telling you, I
not the Pope, Tim. Not this Pope, surely.
This Pope. Yeah, it no, and I mean I was like, okay, well, this is the one Pope that I'd be like, there's something the math ain't mathing with this dude. He's a weasel.
So Joel, while you're checking that, Pope Francis has been vocal about the need for the West to welcome migrants, both legal and illegal, and has criticized what he calls the culture of indifference. I love this. This is delicious. That the West shows towards migrants, he says. So he's called for the West to avoid what he calls a narrow self-interest and nationalism, and instead of working together to address the global issue of migration. Here's what he says. The Pope has emphasized the importance of protecting the dignity of migrants and breaking down walls of indifference that shatter their hopes. He's highlighted the need for safe, orderly, regular, and sustainable migration, stating that it is always in the best interest.
What is sustainable, first off? I mean, that I think he lost me.
That's a word salad buzzword that the left loves to use.
I'm right there with him. It's sustainable. I think we've surpassed that with 1% of our entire population in a year.
But so let's watch the video. Let's hear it from the Pope himself.
While watching this, if you could give it 1 second. I've got a more interesting thing to Google than whatever the old
I can do it twice.
Number is.
What's it called, Joel?
It's called Making the Sign of the Cross. In Latin, it's called signum crucis.
Oh.
The blessing or crossing yourself.
The technical term.
So, but that's great Googling. But how many immigrants have been let into let into the sovereign state?
We're going to ask that question, Tim.
I was just curious.
Let's
listen
to the Pope first, and then we'll talk about that.
I'm sorry. Getting ahead.
Well, let's talk about the harbour. The port of Marseille for a long time has been an open door towards the ocean. Many left Marseille to find a better future abroad, and many people found their way into the continent carrying hope in their luggage. Marseille is a great port, but it's also a great door that must not be closed. Many Mediterranean ports have closed. There are two words that bring fear: emergency and invasion.
I was thinking fentanyl and rape.
But the people taking to the sea are not invading. They're seeking hospitality.
Oh, they're just seeking hospitality.
Migrants are not a passing emergency. As useful as that might be to make people scared.
I think the interpreter's having trouble
doing this.
It hurts him to let those words out.
And to spur them into action. This is a process that involves three continents around the Mediterranean, a process that needs to be managed in a forward-thinking way.
That must Who wrote the words for him? Who did it? I want to know. Because it wasn't his words, I don't think. But whatever.
I feel like he is the Pope.
Does the Pope have a... like a chief of staff?
No. He's a popet for something far more sinister than the Catholic Church.
Managed in a responsible way and must be managed in a way that looks at the reality of the situation.
Like everything he does,
for arrival
I
are
hate.
In Malta,
Why?
Cyprus, Italy, Spain.
Yep.
I didn't have
all
a problem with previous
are around
popes.
The Mediterranean, well, they weren't and they're all welcoming migrants today.
Okay, I can't take any more of
I'm,
it.
Yeah.
So here's the question, Tim, that you asked. Has anybody asked the Pope about how many people the Vatican takes in?
I was hoping we could. That was.
I mean, Joel, Google that. I have a feeling that I know the answer.
I don't think
to
that's
this.
Covered under the Freedom of Information Act. Right.
I will Google it, but the Vatican
in the
is,
sovereign
you're
state.
You're
going
to get put on another list, Joel, just for doing this.
The Vatican's one of the most secure places in
Taking
the world.
Taking another so, one for the cock.
So, what about that wall that they have in place to keep people out of the Vatican? Have you ever seen that wall? It's a wall.
If things fall
it's
apart,
a serious wall.
If things fall apart, I'm going to try to migrate to the Vatican.
So, I mean, would that be? Wouldn't that be indifference to those who seek asylum there?
I mean, they could probably sell a relic or two and build lots of homes for people carrying only hope.
In their luggage.
Is hope the street slang for... I'm not super familiar, but does hope happen to be one of the street slangs for...
Fentanyl?
I've not heard
Carrying
that.
Hope in their luggage?
Because it would make more sense what was going on this speech.
But wouldn't that be, and I quote, the Pope, narrow self-interest?
The Pope it?
The hypocrisy of these people astound me. And maybe remember Joe Biden's forehead to forehead with the Pope recently?
Yeah.
Maybe
I will say
that encounter passed his brain drain on over to the Pope, apparently.
Maybe it's a parasite, a brain melting parasite.
Hold on, gents. We're getting out in front of ourselves.
Uh-oh.
It appears that the Pope and the Vatican are experts in migration.
Oh.
Because in 2021, they took in 12 migrants.
In the Vatican?
12.
Man.
They happen to all be chefs from the Philippines. They did let a...
Would that be narrow self-interest?
They right? did let a... They did let a... One... engineer and a jet mechanic in also.
An engineer to further build the wall up.
I would love to know because the immigration policies that the Vatican has are probably the exact immigration policies that I would love for America to have.
You think they were vetted? Are you saying you think they were vetted?
Yeah, you need to be able to cook like Gordon Ramsay.
They had made plans to
expand that to 13.
No, to take in 50 asylum seekers.
It just, well, they it couldn't just, find 50 that were
through.
Worthy.
They
you know?
Fell through and they took 12.
What do you do?
I wonder where they're at today.
I wonder what their DEI initiative was for those.
Oh, man. I saw a video, and if I could figure out how to, or if I could have found the original one, it was of a chimp pressure washing. Have you guys seen the video of the chimpanzee no. pressure washing? Looked like he was working at a car wash, cleaning the bays out after cars.
No way.
And he was, anyways, I was going to say when DEI has gone too far because the, right. the caption on it was the new employees. You know,
Chimps
like it
lives
was funny.
Matter.
It was funny, but I was like, this is, they were complaining about chimpanzee or like saying that the new hires were, you know, a little bit less than yeah. than adequate. And I was trying to find the original video of the chimp doing it and say when
we believe all men are created equal. That's what we believe.
Yes.
And also, just another note on this: the Pope has no idea. He goes on to talk about the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean is not seeing issues we're seeing.
No,
people aren't.
It was written for him.
And somehow the
Pope has a blue-haired aide that sits behind the curtain, lots of piercings, writing the material. So anyway, we'll move on from that. But there's lots of material there. But speaking of Biden, so the talk of the town over the last week. I don't know about your guys' experience what it's been like, but everywhere I went over the past week after the debate, everybody that I talked to at all the 4th of July celebrations, the big question was, what's going to happen to Joe after the debate? You know, that was the solitary question that was asked, especially people paying attention to the presidential race and to, you know, the state of our fearless leader.
This is to another point that the machine has been ramped up. It's running at full capacity. Mm-hmm. The political media, politically owned machine.
Right.
My news feed is just.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, about the right-wing conspiracy regarding Joe Biden's mental and physical condition. Oh.
They're acknowledging it.
Oh, wait.
But everything is a buffer. Everything you read.
Is that a valid assessment now that there is?
I think it's
there could be
a cognitive
issue.
Well, maybe he's lost half a tick.
You say that even the left are admitting that now what we've been saying for so long is actually concerning?
Something about the emptiness of this particular I told you so. It doesn't feel... It's like winning a cornhole game against a rank amateur.
We know all about that from yesterday.
It doesn't give you the same feels as a 21-19 right. game.
So after the talk of Biden either dropping out or being replaced, which there has been a lot of talk regarding those things, here was his statement on Twitter, which I don't think he wrote that either. But here's what Joe Biden's Twitter account says. Let me say this clearly as I can. I'm the sitting president of the United States. I'm the nominee of the Democratic Party. I'm staying in the race. That was the official statement. And that was July the 5th when Joe Biden made that very strong statement about staying in the race. Probably, again, tweeted by some staffer with blue hair and obviously a voracious appetite for Japanese anime.
It's his press secretary. She's the one that does his Twitter.
You know what I feel?
KJP? Yeah. Did she finally confess?
She messed up. And
she messed up. You remember that?
Yeah.
She posted as the president on her personal Twitter.
Yeah, I think I do remember
Twitter.
That. But, so I doubt Joe typed that out, given his condition. But
no,
nevertheless, what a strong commitment to sticking it out, right?
12 more years. That's the
12 more years.
That's the
okay. Oh man,
we just need to fire off World War III and get him in for 12 more years.
Yeah. So here's a video where he's making another strong statement regarding staying in the race. Let's see what he says about this one.
Ultimately, the American presidency is about character. The character of the president who holds the job. Because with the immunities he's talked about, the Supreme Court just talked about, it gets down to that. It's about honesty. It's about the president's decency. Integrity. Do they respect people? Or do they incite violence and hate? Can they honor their oath to the Constitution and uphold their oath of office? Well, I don't think it's an exaggeration. Yes, Trump has failed on every one of these character tests. Everyone.
Buzz at the microphone.
The Supreme Court has just ruled that there are virtually no limits on the power of the presidency. And what's worse, the Supreme Court has just ruled that there are virtually no limits on the power of the presidency.
I think he just said that.
That sounds bizarre, but that's
a cheap fake.
He doubled down.
A frightening decision. According to an extreme majority of the Supreme Court,
the president the extreme majority of the Supreme Court, 6-3.
He sounds like he just came from a all-you-can-drink mimosa buffet for breakfast.
It's a dangerous precedent, especially if Donald Trump has returned to the presidency.
Oh, no. Just think about it.
The second term, this next term, whomever is the president is going to appoint at least two new appointees. A second Trump term where there are no limits. Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor warned us
no
about
limits.
That in her dissent in that case.
I think it's limited to two.
She noted that based on the majority decision, from Trump can take out his opponents, I mean physically take them out.
He either needs to invest in a bucket of Fixident.
Lead a coup and be immune to ever being held accountable for it if he did it while he was president, according to the Supreme Court.
They got their cue a little bit late on that one.
The sign guy was taking a sip of water when he was supposed to hold up the boo sign.
So he really could become a dictator that he promised to be on day one.
Oh my!
I don't remember that promise, but
America's been a free, democratic nation, and I'll be damned if the year 2024 is 2 years before our 250th.
Don't have to bleep that. I'm not 100%.
I'll let Donald Trump take this away.
So basically he said over my dead body. Well, I let this happen. So
I think
yeah.
Nature's gonna
be careful what you say, Joe. Your people over there are ruthless and they're power hungry and they will stop at nothing to remain in power. So did you watch the KJP video with the spin, you know, when she's getting grilled by the leftists about turning on Biden? That's a pretty good one, too.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, I think it definitely shows how over her head she really is in this. Listen to this one.
Officials now contradicting the White House press secretary, saying Biden was seen by his doctor days after the debate.
He did not get checked out by the doctor. It's a cold, guys. It's a cold. And I know that. It affects everybody differently. We have all had colds. And so, he was not checked by the doctor.
A White House official tells CNN Biden had a, quote, brief check,
whoops,
not a physical.
Have you ever
debate.
Had a cold that bad?
And now appealing directly to black voters.
So she got fact checked.
Well, it affects us all differently, Tim.
We've all had colds, Tim.
It affects everyone differently.
I may have one right now.
I'm gonna keep
you
the
don't know.
I'm gonna keep the cold card in my pocket. If this episode does not,
if it bombs,
if this episode is not palatable to the listeners, I want it to be known that Joel gave me the cold.
The cold.
I showed up with those germs.
Yeah,
germs.
He didn't have any of the regular symptoms, but the brain fog was there.
Listen to Stephanopoulos shutting down Biden. Of all people, right? Listen to what he says.
What's your plan to turn the campaign around?
You saw it today. How many people do you get draw crowds like I drew today? Did you find any more enthusiastic than today?
Did he say snort?
I don't think you want to play the crowd game. Donald Trump can draw big crowds.
Stephanopoulos said, I don't think you want to play the crowd
that
game,
was
Biden.
Inconvenient.
But look at Joe. Look at him.
About that. I can draw a big crowd, but what's he saying?
His eyes have gotten bigger. Did he have a an eyebrow lift? Or is that the cocktail? The Biden cocktail
he's more orange too.
I was just fixing to point that out.
He's taking a page.
Hey, if you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, right. If his hair
orange
starts
man
going
good?
Yeah. That would be a great caption for that photo.
I mean,
they're like,
it's just
maybe
too much.
The orange spray tan is the secret.
You know it's bad when Stephanopoulos is calling you out. But here's the so here's another version of that, by the way. I found this on Il Donald Trumpo's.
Donaldo.
Yeah. Donaldo Trumpo's Twitter. Here's the alternate version of the Stephanopoulos interview.
After the debate, we ran a poll.
and every single person we polled thinks that you're a retard. We polled African-Americans. They all say you're a retard. Hispanic-Americans also think that you're retarded. They call you El Retardo. We even polled actual retarded people. Even they say you sound absolutely retarded. You see where this is going, Mr. President?
Well, I just had a bad night.
After the debate, we ran a poll.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Man, I hope I never get a cold.
Terrible.
Right? Oh, we've all had them. We've all had a cold. So that's the AI version of the interview, which...
He couldn't call in sick. That was.
You can't say AI is all bad, right?
Oh, that was rough.
So here's the question, right? So what is the Democrat play with all of this? That's the question that I think too often we find ourselves thinking of these days.
You just look at where the media is hedging the bets.
Yeah. So first of all, right? No primary challenger for Joe. Check. Right? That's already taken place.
Talking about how presidential Kamala's been looking lately.
Let's just think through this. So maybe like orchestrating the debate where they just let him go out there kind of like a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
You know, and a wind-up toy... maybe full of cocaine and Red Bull.
Give him 120 milligrams of Adderall and a lot of vitamin E and just see what happens.
Are you suggesting that the terrible debate performance could have been...
allowed?
Pre-thought?
I think it could have. I'm just spitballing here, guys.
Do you really think that there isn't... I'm not the one. If it's like... if I was in control of this podcast, first off, there wouldn't be a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We would have no real viable information. But do you think that someone like me is running the Democratic national show? Do you really think that there is not a plan, that this is not a chess game? I'm a checkers guy. You know, do you, and I'm not even good at checkers, but there is a, this has been, it was chess 4 years ago or in the last election. You know, this is, it's, there's some, you just got to look where they're pointing. Where are they hedging their bets in the media? Cause they own the media. And when I start seeing article after article about how presidential mm-hmm. Kamala's been, and she has a future. I will say Kamala has a future as a special needs handler.
I was wondering you were going with that.
There's jobs all over. Like right.
There's no shortage.
She's got experience.
She has experience because like she's turning him back.
Put
on
that
the
on
queue.
The resume.
She was like, hey, no, Joe, we're not going swimming here. We're watching the
special needs handler for the president of the United States.
Yeah. And so, but check. Just talking about, and more or less, they just not letting her talk. And when she does, I mean, you have to seek it out.
It's golden.
And it's an interview of absolute, it would be like if I was being interviewed about.
Yeah. So here's my thinking. And again, I'm just spitballing. So no primary. Let's say that they did, you know, and just, let's watch the shocked faces of Dana Bash and Jake Tapper as the truth unfolds before our eyes. Obviously highlighting the cognitive decline that you can't argue with it's right in front of you.
They're going to be lowering the dosage.
Knowing that he's going to confirm, I'm still going to run, Jack. You lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Yep.
And then again, you begin to see some medical emergencies.
Yep.
Has been reported already since the debate has happened. And events canceled. And then let's say that at the convention, he steps down citing his health.
Mm-hmm.
And then by doing that, they ensure that they don't have to deal with any challengers that they couldn't handpick.
Exactly.
Right? And then it starts a kind of introducing the idea, planting the seeds that, the health is declining.
You guys want to hear a terrifying thought?
What's that?
You know who third in line is, right?
Hakeem.
Hakeem. Third in line.
He's
the
minority leader in the House. That wouldn't be third in line, though.
I thought it was the Secretary of State.
No, it's not.
The Speaker is Nancy, right?
No, the Speaker is a Republican.
Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson. Unless something happened to him.
So, Mike Johnson and Kamala and Obama go on a Grand Canyon expedition in a helicopter. Chuck, is that who's next?
Chuck Schumer? No. The Senate Majority Leader, I don't think, is in line for the president.
For some reason, I thought Secretary of State.
Hey, I'm
going
to go ahead and take this time to insert this, that somewhere out there, there is a graphic designer that could design us some tinfoil trucker hats, and they want to support the Man Cave Caucus podcast.
We're there.
We could use some tinfoil trucker.
We might take them up on that.
We're down.
I mean, look at where we're at right now. We're deep into this.
I'm sorry. Of course, so I was heading in a bad direction.
So planting the seeds that health is declining, not to us, of course.
Right.
You know, but to the NPCs out there that are, you know, they just believe whatever the MSM, the mainstream media bobbleheads tell them.
Yeah.
So then what happens is that pushes the idea that a convention announcement by Joe Biden is then less orchestrated. It's less planned. It's a more honorable look, maybe. And that way it ensures that they have complete control then of the narrative and the next moves of what to do and who that might be. You know, because think of it. It could be headlines could be the strong leader steps down for the good of the country. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they pick a successor. Of course, they all get behind them because they are the unified party of lemmings that they are. And then they're off to the races with somebody new. Joe's gone. He's in the past. Somebody new steps up that has been handpicked to be there. But here's the problem. Will the voters buy it? I don't think they will. I think that's their real problem that they have to face. If it ever went down that road.
It just depends how hard they can pound down the narrative.
I don't think there's anything. So if Joe Biden stays, that's clearly the best thing for us, right?
Oh, yeah.
I believe that.
Please, Joe, stay.
That's what Trump has been saying. If it's a fair election.
Who in this country thinks that Joe can serve another 4 years?
Nobody.
No one.
A vote for
Joe Biden is a vote for Kamala Harris presidency.
The more important thing is probably who thinks that that Biden can win. That's all they really care about.
After that,
if enough people believe it, they could absolutely buy another election.
After that debate, I can't imagine.
So did you another video? I gotta play. You gotta see this. So. Did you see where Trump apparently got Christmas confused with the 4th of July?
Sounds like something my son would do.
Did you see this one? Listen to this.
And we give thanks to our commander-in-chief, the president of the...
This is Kamala introducing the president. Let me back it up.
My goodness.
What did she say? Is she going to say the vice president?
Listen up. Listen.
I think Obama may still be running things.
And we give thanks to our commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, the extraordinary president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Ho, ho, ho.
He says, ho, ho, ho.
Merry Fourth.
Look.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy Independence Day.
And to all a good night.
Hey, if he was in Boston, they would have booed him just for...
Oh, man. I just couldn't pass that one
up. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. After the memory fades of Biden, I may take that one.
That reminds me of a meme I recently saw.
Oh.
It said something to the effect of, don't forget to leave Budweiser and fireworks out for Kid Rock when he slides down your chimney tonight, 4th of July.
And throw in Ted Nugent, too, Uncle Ted.
Uncle Ted.
So to finish off our podcast today, I've got a couple of great videos that I think you all will enjoy. and our audience, I'm sure, will thoroughly enjoy. Given that these are some more protester videos, this one is in Washington Square Park in New York City. And you can see kind of what takes place.
Classy individuals.
You've got, yeah, definitely the classy type. It's where the pro-Palestinian, you know, Hamas sympathizers end up clashing with the LGBTQ++ folks.
Oh, you
at
got
the Pride Parade.
You got video of this?
Yes, I do, and it gets violent. Imagine that. So let's just look in on what's happening at the Pride celebration in New York City. I mean,
this is like
World Star.
Was it
what?
What was the old WWE? What, something in the jungle?
Welcome to the jungle?
No.
Rumble in the jungle?
The Rumble in the jungle.
Yeah. So people are just literally clobbering each other, grabbing them by the hair. I'm not sure who's on what side. Can you tell?
They all just look like
they all wear the same uniform.
They all look like blue-haired liberals to me.
I'm not... I
you
can't,
know what the antidote
watch
to
out.
Blue-haired liberals is?
Watch out for the wardrobe malfunction.
Well, that one guy was taking his leotard off at the top. I think I know what side he was on. I cannot
be sure.
Be sure.
Not too many Hamas terrorists wear leotards.
But his it was actually a, is that called a unitard?
In smaller circles.
In smaller circles. So I don't think that he looked like he came prepared to wrestle because he was wearing a wrestler's
like one of those
unitard.
Luchadors.
Yeah, but
so the other one, another group of I don't know, a dozen or so pro-Palestine protesters are blocking the roads and causing disruption. This is also New York City, but a different one, different Pride parade, I think in Manhattan. This comes to a halt as the protesters begin to throw fake blood at the attendees, creating, you know, chaos, confusion, all the above. So again, definitely the best method, right, to convince others of your cause.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing fake blood at people who you disagree with. But let's look at this one. They were holding up a sign that says, Palestine will be free. Look, see the blood running under the fake blood running under the tire? What's happening there?
I will say that...
Oh, somebody's getting drug out of there. Again, I'm not sure which side is which, except for the ones holding the sign.
And they could be confused.
They could very well be.
I mean...
By nature.
By nature.
Maybe the fake blood helped them make a decision.
Yeah. As a middle child, I'm somewhat of a peacekeeper, and I feel like that the LGBTQ should just maybe add a H on and lump Hamas in with them.
Just induct these.
Induct Hamas in and kill more birds.
Do you think that's what they're fighting for?
Hamas?
Yeah, maybe they're fighting to get the H inducted into the...
Hey,
that's
maybe,
why you
maybe
would,
that's their new cause.
Seems like why you would show up to a
Let's find
ride.
Out. But and I last think. But not least, I had to throw this in here. I've seen this several times, and it popped up again on my feed. And I thought, you know, since we're talking about the protests here with the pro-Palestine and then the LGBTQ, here's an oldie but a very good one where the Monty Python skit. Once again, predicts the future of the culture here in the United States of America, believe it or not. And I think just, I mean, almost prophetic, actually, this skit. And I'm not sure what year this was. Maybe Joel could Google that.
83.
Oh, it's 1979. 1979, actually.
It was the summer of 79.
So let's listen in on this skit from 1979 from Monty Python.
It is the inalienable right of every man
or woman,
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right
watch
to have
John
babies,
Cleese,
brother.
Watch him.
Sister, sorry. What's the point? What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like the antidote to the blue-haired liberals is some mulleted rednecks.
Yeah. Could very well be. So that about does it, eh, for today?
I think we'll call in the dogs and pee on the fire.
Don't forget, the thing. Remember, you can go click the follow button over there at Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe over there at Spotify if you so choose to use that platform.
Was that a Biden play there? The thing.
You know the thing.
You know the
thing.
Golden boy.
Hey, July 10th is the last day to register to vote. If you're not registered.
Get out there and vote, people. And if you don't and you're not registered, you definitely need to get registered. Look, you can't complain. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, Tim.
Send in a mail.
I don't want to hear a complaint if you haven't exercised your right and your duty to vote. So get out there, get registered, and vote. Other than that, you can, set your settings on your podcast, whatever you use for your podcast, to automatic download the episodes of the Man Cave Caucus podcast. That helps us. And with that, hang in there, America. There's still hope. There are still sane people who love this country, who don't want it to fail, who are engaged, and you guys know who you are.
And we'll try to let you know when there's no longer any hope.
Yeah. And we're hoping that that's not anytime soon.
Anytime soon.
So I'm betting on you, America. And with that, we'll be back in a flash. So
God bless.
God bless, everybody.